Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Stu and Blake.
Hello and welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. Hope you're all doing well. Sitting opposite me, obviously, Blake Harrison. Hello.
Hello. How are you, mate?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm very, very good. Very, very good. I'm excited because we've got our first ever fighter from the PFL on today.
Who we got?
Oh, you're going straight in there, are you? You're going straight in there.
We can do, I suppose, can't we? Yeah, I mean, there's no rules, is there?
There is no rules, but there's something very interesting has gone on. So we've got on the show today Brendan Loughnane, who is doing very, very well in the PFL. He was reached the semi-finals of last year's PFL season and is having one fight this season, has won his fight, so he's on to his second fight, which happens this Friday. So it's literally, if this goes out tomorrow, you've got like 2 days or whatever it is until the fight. So be excited. And if you can catch it on Channel 4, it'll be on Channel 4 or 4OD or any of those usual things. Yeah. And also a little trick I've found out, if you want to catch up on a bunch of stuff, go on the Channel 4 Sport YouTube page and you can see a bunch of PFL content on there if you weren't sure where to get it. But back to what we were talking about. Brendan Loughnane was supposed to be fighting Boston Salmon, which just sounds like something to put in your sandwich. He has pulled out with like 2-3 days to go. And now he's got a late notice replacement. And both of them are up for points in the PFL. If you don't know, PFL works in a slightly strange way that they have a regular season of like 2 or 3 fights. You earn 3 points for a win, 1 for a draw, none for a loss, obviously. But you get additional points. If you get a stoppage in the first round, you get 3 bonus points. Second round, 2 bonus points. Third round, 1 bonus point. And at the end of that, out of your league, if you're in the top 4, you make it to the playoffs. And then if you win your playoff semi-final, you make it through to the championship night where they have all the belts decided on that one night, which is very, very exciting. And the winner not only gets the championship, they get $1 million.
$1 million.
And Brendan Loughnane is on his way to doing that. And he's taking on a late notice replacement. He will tell you during this episode who that late notice replacement is. So is there anything else we want to quickly cover before we introduce?
I don't think so. I think we can just get straight on with it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, here is Brendan Loughnane. Brendan Loughnane, how you doing, mate? You good?
Good to be here, fellas.
It's great to have you, mate.
What are you eating right now? You in a hotel at the moment?
Mate, fucking some bits of nuts, all this weight I've got to cut.
Well, I was going to say to you, because I don't think we've interviewed a fighter so close to the fight. You're 2 days out from a big fight. How are you? Seem really happy and really well. Basically, not how I expected. I expected you to be cutting weight and miserable, but you seem like you're all right.
Listen, mate, I'm a veteran in this game. I've been around, and I'm just so used to this feeling now, this deep hunger feeling that I have inside me. It just makes me more hungry for fight night.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll get on to kind of a bit more about weight cutting and stuff like that, because with the PFL, it's a little bit different. You're doing it really, really regularly, aren't you? And we want to ask you a little bit about that later. But I suppose right now, we're going to kind of take you back to the start of your career, if that's okay.
And yep.
The first question I suppose I want to ask is, in terms of you grew up in Manchester, didn't you?
Correct.
Yeah. Was that a place where you felt like you had to deal with confrontation a lot in Manchester? And how did you find that?
I mean, do you know Manchester?
Yeah.
I've been there a few times for work. And to be honest, I've found it quite lovely. I found it like London, but the people are more friendly. I reckon that I was probably in the nicer parts of Manchester, maybe. So maybe you'll have a different experience to me as a tourist or someone just working up there briefly. But so how did you find it then?
Well, Manchester's a real gritty working man's town. It was anyway. Now it's become a bit more like London, to be honest, with the high rises and, you know, a lot of people seem to be coming there. But when I grew up, it was, and especially the area that I was training in Mosside, and it's the infamous area of Manchester. And it has a real stigma attached to it. It's like they call it Gunchester back there. And we grew up tough. I used to train at a gym called Mosside Ground and Pound and another gym called Champs Camp. Pretty famous gym, Champs Camp, around the world in world boxing. It was real gritty. It was tough. And when I first started, mixed martial arts wasn't even a sport. We're all just kind of figuring it out. We're going back to 2008 now, 2007. That's when I first started to like, it was just a brand new sport. Nobody knew how to train, really. Nobody knew about different styles and nutrition and weight cutting. We were all figuring it out. And I was there from the start to watch it immerse into something like that it is now. It's insane.
How old was you, Brendan? Was it something that your family were like, you know, you need to go and get like some discipline, or you need a hobby, or was you thinking, I need to go and, you know, learn how to be able to look after myself? Like, how did martial arts enter into that story?
So it was my next door neighbour. He used to be a MMA fighter. And I used to always be like, wow, he looks cool. Everyone respects him in the area. He's an MMA fighter. He's a cage fighter. And then I just kind of was in his house watching him. Used to go to his fights. And then he was like, you know, why don't you come down and train? And then that was the story she wrote. And I was 16, 17 years old when that happened. And 32 years old now, still going strong.
How did you find, was you a pretty sporty lad anyway?
Very sporty.
How did sort of martial arts come? Like quite easy? Or did you feel that you had a good structure as like a pretty fit lad? Like, was it something that sort of came quite comfortably?
Well, yeah, exactly. You touch on it. Like, you grew up in Manchester, you were playing football as a kid, you were boxing and playing football. Yeah. That's what we all grew up doing. So I didn't have the boxing, but I was really good at football. And, kind of got to the point where it was like, right, are you going to pursue football? I was always that guy who was always diving in for tackles. I'd always be the first in when there was a bit of an altercation on the pitch. And I always had that fire in my belly. And then it was like, you know, this mixed martial arts came around. I got good at that and I got good at football and I had to make a decision. And it was like, how many kids actually make it in football? Not many. So I was like, yeah, let's go with this fighting thing. It's new, it's exciting. And that's kind of the story she wrote.
And how did like your mum and dad like react to? Because I always think, you know, we had Arnold Allen and Dan Hooker on the show a while back before they fought each other in London, and there was kind of a semi joke, but also it was serious about the fact that, you know, Arnold Allen's nan was saying to him like, "Why are you fighting this guy that's so much taller than you? What's going on there? That's not fair." Dan Hooker like found that quite funny, and he was saying like, we've all got people in our lives that are worried about us, you know. So when you turn around to like your mum and dad or your family or anything and say, I'm going to pursue this MMA fighting stuff, what was their reaction?
Well, I used to come home from training when I first started with two big black eyes, like, and then like used to tell my mum that, you know, she used to just look at me and be like, what are you doing in that gym? Like, what is actually going on? And then I just said, look, I love it. I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to pursue it. And back then, people were getting £200-300 for a fight. Like, there was no longevity in it. There was nowhere to go. But I just absolutely loved it. And I've got to give Bugsy Malone his dues. I'm going to give him a shout out. Bugsy said to me one day, and this always stuck with me, he said, get that good at your craft and what you do so people have to pay you a lot of money to see it. And that always stuck with me. And I just got that fucking good at it that people have to pay a lot of money to see it.
But going back, before we get into sort of turning pro and stuff, tell us about your first ever fight. How was your mindset going into that? You know, how did you you know, I presume there was nerves involved in it. And how did you sort of stay on top of that?
First one, I'd been training about 10 months and I'd been going twice a week. It was a Tuesday and a Thursday. And then I remember coming in on a Thursday evening and the coach just gone, I've got you a fight. It's in 3 weeks, four. I can't remember what it was. And I was like, what do you mean you've got me a fight? Like, I'm not ready to fight. And he was like, yeah, yeah, no, it's sorted. You're fighting on this show. And then I was like, fucking hell. like, going to put me in a real fight? And then, yeah, went with it, knocked the guy out in the first round. And then I always remember the real nerves came in the second fight because I always thought to myself, that was a fluke. I thought I fluked it. And then they put me up against this guy who was like 3-0 with 3 knockouts. And I thought, fucking hell, why have I done this sport? Like, what the fuck? And then just turned out that I knocked him out again. And I just kept knocking people out. And then when they put in front of me, it just kept happening. And then now we're here.
Do you still get that now, though? Like, what the fucking hell am I doing here still?
Oh, listen, mate. You put the wraps on. You put the gloves on. Someone comes in and says, right, you're on in 10 minutes. And you think, for fuck's sake, man. Couldn't I just...
Jesus. Well, I mean, you're certainly a braver man than most human beings. I think that's the thing. When you're doing combat sports, particularly, I think MMA, you're just a bit different. You're a different breed of people, and you're someone that you've described yourself as like an MMA nomad, and you've said that because you train all over the world. You go to different parts of the world to train with different people. I mean, listing them off, you've had Dominic Cruz, obviously Leon Edwards, Petr Yan, Rafael Fiziev. I mean, are there any big names off there that I'm missing? And what is there anything particular that you remember from one or two of these guys that you've really taken with you as you've gone through your career where you've gone, that's something I need to remember if I want to be a success in this game?
Oh, that's a good question. And yeah, I've been in with world champions all across the board, all over the place, many different countries. I was actually living with Dominic Cruz on and off for about 6 years. I'd go back and forward for his camps. That was an experience. And then Petr Yan, I was training with him for my last fight. What a great guy. Really love Petr Yan. Petr Yan is a fucking gentleman, mate. Like, there's a lot of stuff that you don't know about Petr Yan. Like, for example, he would buy, like, so he was staying in this hotel, right? And people don't know this story, but I tell him because Petr don't tell him, so I'm telling him. And, like, I remember we was all living in this hotel, and then he came one day, and then there used to be a cleaner, and the cleaner used to sleep in the closet. Because it's a poor country, Thailand. And I remember when one day I come back, and he had this scooter, and Petr had bought him a scooter, like a motorbike scooter. And, like, I said, where did you get that? Oh, Petr bought it for me, but never told anyone. And, like, I really stuck with that. I thought, you know, for the image that he puts on online, and, like, you know, the kid, Petr Yan, and this. He's got a really good heart, Petr Yan. And another one I'll tell you is there was a Ukrainian girl that came off a banana boat over there and really damaged her face, fractured her skull. And Petr donated quite a bit of money to that as well without telling anyone. So don't let Petr Yan fool you. Petr Yan's a sweetheart deep down. So that always stuck with me with Petr Yan. But yeah, like you say, been all over the world, trained with all the best guys in the world. And one thing that really resonates with MMA fighters is we don't really have an ego. You can't have an ego because you get punched in the head every day. You just drop it. So, like, even when I see all the fighters down here now at the PFL, it's like a big family. We all know we're putting our lives on the line. We're going to go in. We're going to entertain people. And we've got that mutual respect for each other. Like, we're all not right upstairs. We can't be to want to do something like this. And we all have that mutual look and respect for each other, which is really cool.
Wonderful. You mentioned, you know, not being right upstairs. A friend of the podcast, an absolute lunatic, Paddy Pimlet. See, he was on Paddy's podcast the other day. Have you been over to Next Gen? I mean, they're schooling some killers at the moment.
Yeah, no, I've not trained with Paddy, but I don't know if you've seen the back and forth. Me and Paddy were supposed to fight like 5 times, and there was loads of back and forth videos you can see on YouTube. The fight never came about, which we talked about on the podcast. But now we're at a stage of our career where we've done it now. We've been around, you know, we've both had hard fights all over the world. We're in 2 organisations. We've realised it's not going to happen. And we've kind of like, yeah, let's just squash it for the good of MMA, really. And let's get together and give some knowledge out to younger fighters.
Love it. Love it.
Absolutely. Do you feel any kind of pressure being, I mean, you've got a few more Brits in the PFL for this season. But I think last season you were the only Brit in the PFL. Do you feel a bit of pressure to kind of, you know, put some knowledge out there to the youngsters. Because, again, we'll go on to, like, the record, for example, of your opponent coming up in a couple of days. You've got quite a lot of fights under your belt and a wide range of experience from the Ultimate Fighter and the Contender Series and the PFL and of various other organisations. Do you feel a pressure to kind of go, the next generation will be looking up to me, especially the UK scene's on fire at the moment, it feels.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Right. Do you feel like you owe the younger generation that knowledge that you were talking about?
I'm just so happy that they picked up. I'm not allowed to say a few more names, but they have picked up a few more UK fighters, and PFL are really growing in the UK. And with me being the first year and watching guys like Simeon Powell come through, he's got 2 wins in the PFL now, and he's changed his life, man. He's gone from fighting for 500 quid on a regional scene to making tens of thousands overnight. And, you know, we put everything into this sport. I've sacrificed my whole life for it. So now I'm finally getting the rewards. But I'm 32 years of age. I started at 16. I've only just started getting the rewards now. So it's going to be a long, hard journey. And 90% of these guys that start it won't finish it. 90% of the people 99.9% of the people I started with didn't finish it. And Brendan Lochner's just that stubborn motherfucker that's still here and won't take no for an answer.
Tell us a little bit about your relationship with PFL, because from what we've seen, sort of, you know, looking into it, like, things look like it's a pretty harmonious place for you there. You know, it looks like they've been very supportive of you. Tell us a little bit about your relationship with PFL.
It's like a mutual respect now. Like, I kind of took a risk with them. They took a risk with me in 2018, 2019, and then it's been a flourishing. I've put on Tyler Diamond fights, I've put on Shaman Marais fights, where they've just been barn burners, and they've really brought a public from the UK to start watching PFL. And, you know, they really appreciate it. If you was in other organisations, they wouldn't give a fuck. But these are like, thank you for what you've done. We'll look after you, you look after us. It's a mutual respect, and it feels so good to be acknowledged for what you've done in the sport by a real organisation. I love it, mate. I love fighting for them. I love the back staff, the owner. Everything's great about PFL.
Wonderful.
Well, I mean, on that note, I mean, we've spoken to fighters that have gone to, for example, Bellator, and they've spoken about the financial benefits of going with Bellator, other than maybe staying with the UFC or going somewhere else at different occasions. You've had, I think, a great time with PFL, because is there a story that you helped buy your mum's house a little while ago?
Yeah, no other.
How did that feel?
No other organisation does signing bonuses. And then I was at the lowest point in my career and my life when Dana White, I got snubbed on there. And then it was like, where do I go? And these guys came in and said, yeah, give me a lovely signing bonus. We'll give you 3 fights before the end of the year, and we'll do this, we'll do that, and we'll put you on this channel. And they give me a lifeline. And I fucking grabbed it with both hands and ran with it. And now look, now we're just growing together.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned being at such a low point with Dana White. For some listeners that don't know, just to fill them in, you were on the Contender Series back in, was it 2019?
Correct.
And you won your fight against Bill Algeo. And everyone knows on the Contender Series, more often than not, if you win your fight, you get your UFC contract. And Dana White came out and said something to the effect of, oh, you don't have a fight like that and shoot for a double leg with 10 seconds to go in the round, which I think pretty much everyone universally just sort of did a double take and was like, what's he talking about? Brendan was like the most talented guy on that episode of the show, clearly the best guy, obviously should have got a contract. And there was this very strange excuse given for why you weren't given a contract, which baffled most people. And this is just filling people in. But I mean, I don't want to dredge it up too much because I know you're sick to the back teeth of talking about that stuff. But how was it afterwards when, because it must, if you'd have lost the fight, you probably would have gone, oh shit, well, maybe I wasn't good enough, or I just had a really bad night, I need to look for another way. But for you to win and be so talented on the card, and that really strange excuse to come out, how did you process that? And how did you then get to the position you're in now, where you're, you know, happy, healthy, doing the thing that you love to do it, and you're in a good place of it? So how was the immediate impact, and how did you transition to that better place?
Well, first of all, I should never have been on that show, because I was number one in Europe for years. And, like, I should have been signed automatically. Then they give me the contender, which is for novices, really. 3-0, 4-0, 5-0. I was very heavily experienced at the time. So I did. I took the opportunity. They give me the hardest fight they could find. A two-weight champion on the East Coast. So I took the fight. And then I went on there. Then I won. Then I won convincingly. I ran straight through Bilal Joe. And then it was like, I'd been told, basically, if you win, you're in. So after the fight, I'd been told, yeah, it's a foregone conclusion. Sit down and you're just going to get told you're in. So I did. I sat down and then I got shouted at, don't think you can come here, don't think you can do this, do that. And then it's like my whole world just left me. Imagine you work your whole life for a moment, earn it, and then it just gets taken away for no reason. And there's more to the story that I've heard down the years, which has got absolutely nothing to do with me. And it's like, really? Like, it's a young kid, you've just completely crushed his dream for a very trivial point, like a takedown. We're doing mixed martial arts. Like, we're not doing boxing, especially after it was such a...
Well, was that to do with... Was that to do with maybe politics behind the scenes then, or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard a few stories, which I don't want to go into, but yeah, stuff that, you know, it's very, very pathetic, really. And it's like, whether it's true or not, I don't know. Whether it was the takedown, I don't know. But at the same time, anyone you speak to has gone, lad, come on, you know it's not a takedown. Look at the other guys they signed that night. One of them wrestled for 3 rounds and you give him a contract. So it's like, it's obviously not that. But going back to that point, I was then like, right, well, where now? What now? Like, I'm here now. I've waited 6 years for this chance. Fuck it. Where do I go now? And then that's when PFL opened the door, mate. And at another point, after the fight, I'd broke my nose again. I was pissing blood. And then I seen the comment, like, you know, you didn't fight hard enough. I went, what do you want me to do? Die. Like, I can't fight any harder. Yeah. Like, I left my soul in the cage. A bit of me was left in the cage that night. Like, there's only so much I can give. And then comments like that really do dig deep down inside, especially when people never been in a cage or never been in a combat gym and think they can say you didn't leave it all in there. It was heartbreaking. But again, I had to scoop myself off the floor. I had a great support network with my coach and with my mum and with my family. And look at me now, mate, flying.
Yeah. Well, I mean, having that kind of emotional negative impact on you from the show, mix that with you just said you were pissing blood. I mean, was there a moment where you just went, screw? I mean, even just the health-wise, even if you'd got the contract, if you then you broke your nose and you're pissing blood, I think most people would go, yeah, I'd understand if you had a few moments of going, do I really want to keep doing this?
Yeah, that has crossed my mind a few times, and I realise I'm a fighter through and through. I look at myself as an artist. I like to paint pictures on people. That's how I describe it. But this is all God's given me. God's given me a wonderful talent in mixed martial arts. And it's my job to go out there and show people the way and you know, put on martial arts performances to woo the British crowds, especially. And that's what I've been doing for years. And I've still not got all that feeling's not got old yet. So until it does, I'm still here.
Where does that drive and focus come from, Brendan?
No idea. Everyone asked me, if I got bottle up and selling it, I'd be a multi-billionaire. I just love it.
Talking about emotion, after I think it was after your last fight, you said that sometimes, I see you in a post-fight interview, you say that sometimes you fight with emotion. what factors bring on that state, Brendan, rather than, you know, sticking with a game plan and sticking with head over heart? When you end up sort of going with the emotion, and is that the roar of a crowd? Like, what brings on that sort of state where it's all emotion?
Well, I fought a guy back in the day, Eden Newton. He was from Manchester, and he was talking mad shit, mate. Like, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to this and that. We had a big tussle at the weigh-in, and that was one of my worst performances ever, because I wanted to kill him, and I was punching, I was missing everything, I was loading up, and I seized up because I wanted to hurt this man so much. Whereas if you come in my changing rooms nowadays, I'll have Bob Marley on, I'll be chilling, I'll be lying down, I'll be relaxed. 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes before the fight, you look at me and you think I'm going to have a stroll in the park. Like, I like to stay super relaxed. And again, I look at it as I'm an artist. I'm not a fighter, I'm an artist. I like to paint pictures. And there's loads of different, you've got athletes who enter MMA, you've got fighters who are the guys on the street that just knock people out, they enter MMA. Then you've got guys like myself who are actual mixed martial artists, who are martial artists at birth and like to, you know, perform under the lights. And I feel like with me, I am the martial arts version. But when I fight the fighters, that's when we get the best fights, because they're the ones that are gritty, they bite the teeth. And they're the guys that I can really paint my picture on, because they're fighting on emotion. And I know what it's like when you fight on emotion. It's not very good. And I feel like with this next opponent, he's kind of there at the minute. He's frothing at the mouth to kill me. So that's perfect.
Well, your next opponent is Boston Salmon. As we said, in just 2 days' time, his record is 8-4. What?
Boston's pulled out.
Boston's pulled out?
Yesterday, yeah. So I've got someone new now.
Oh, bloody it, mate. I had no idea. Have they announced who you've got now?
I just broke the news about a minute before this podcast. So, yeah, I'm fighting a guy called...
You could have told us! We're not on mugs now!
I'm fighting Ago Husic, a Bosnian striker from the USA. He took it on 6 days' notice. What a guy. Respect to him.
Yeah.
I've got so much respect for this fella. He's going to come in. He's going to fight his heart out. He's got the same record as Boston. He's a similar fighting style. So, brilliant.
Fantastic. Well, I mean, how does that... Because we were going to ask you to put into words for people exactly how the PFL works, because it's slightly different to most other organisations. There's a league format, then it goes into the playoffs and the championship fights. It's all very kind of like American sport, you know, that kind of like league system. And there's points for first round finishes, second round, all that kind of stuff. In terms of this situation, you're fighting a guy that wasn't originally in the league. Is it points for you? Basically, the points for you are still going to be the same. They're going to be up for grabs. But I'm assuming he wouldn't get any points or anything like that, because he's going to get beat, isn't he? That's why. But it's but he's in terms of eligibility for that, is he eligible for that kind of stuff? Because he's come in late.
Points are up for us both. Business as usual.
Really?
Game plan as usual. Yeah, it's all systems go for me. Like, he's just another target, mate. Like, they can bring whoever they want in. I'm fully prepared now. So it is who it is, mate. It's a tournament. I'm prepared for wrestlers, boxers, kickboxers, you name it. I fought them all before anyway. Like, they're all just a canvas to me.
Talk a little bit about the sort of training and that. And, like, are you hard on yourself? Like, you know, I mean, obviously you've got a coach that's going to be pushing you and pushing you, but how hard are you on yourself when it comes to sort of training?
You can go around and ask any fighter in the UK that's ever trained me. They'd be like, that Brendan is a lunatic, mate. I'm a gym. I overtrain, which is my detriment sometimes. I out-train everybody, even at 32 years old. I out-train everybody, mate. I am so addicted to this sport. I'm such a perfectionist.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I always want the best out of myself, and that's why I've been so successful.
And the fact that, you know, within the league you fight regular, like, what's the deal with sort of, obviously, you know, there's a weight cut involved, but do you have to sort of, obviously, sort of stay pretty fight fit 24/7?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, I've got, what, 11 pounds a cut in a day and a half with nothing on me. So, yeah, it's always difficult, mate. It's the sacrifices that go into this sport, you can't even comprehend. You really can't, like, all the training and then the dieting. Imagine training 6 hours a day and eating a couple of fucking boiled eggs, mate. Like, it's a mad sacrifice, and I'm lucky to have a very good support network around me.
Did you learn a lot from your first season in the PFL in terms of, like, you know, having to fight every kind of 6 to 10 weeks or whatever, and that kind of schedule of the season? Did you take much away from your first season in the PFL that you're applying to this season?
100%, mate. Wow, that first one was rough. I was injured. I was fucking overtraining. By the semi-final, I wasn't asked if I won or lost. I wanted to go home. I wouldn't care. Like, my body had just give up at that point. I'd just been in camp for a year with no days off. This year, as you can see, I'm a lot more relaxed. I'm more chilled with it. I know what to expect. This is my fucking year, mate. You watch.
You mentioned that you had a tussle at a weigh-in, you know, back in the day. Like, I'm always interested to ask about the stare down. And, like, is it for the cameras or, you know, are, you know, you hear people going, no, I was looking right into his soul. Like, what do you take from a stare down?
Nothing really. Like I say, this will be my 36th fight. And now I'm just like, whatever, mate. Like, you've trained, I've trained. We're going to fight. Like, I don't look too much into that sort of stuff, really, to be honest.
And what about on sort of like trash talk and stuff like that? Obviously, you know, loads of fighters have always got, you know, plenty to say for themselves. But then obviously we've seen, you know, plenty of fighters in other organisations, you know, we're talking Conor and such, have just become these superstars from just talking. And obviously they can fight, obviously, but that kind of trash talk and that hype machine and social media, you know, how much attention do you put into sort of the sounds stupid, but the sort of brand side of you, like, you know, social media and like and media days and being able to sort of, you know, talk to people, like, you know, podcasters and TV stations and things like that. How much effort and time do you put into that?
Yeah, a lot now, a lot. I've seen the way the sport's gone. It's not just fighting anymore. It's about 50-50, mate, to be honest. Like, if you can't talk, nobody gives a fuck how good your fighting is. And I was blessed with a gift of the gab, so I can have a chat and I can have a fight. So, you know, it goes hand in hand nowadays.
And on Stu's point about, like, social media and stuff, how do you find that? Because, I mean, just in life in general, I mean, I have a love-hate relationship with social media. It's great to be able to contact people, do stuff like this, talk to people like yourselves. But then there's the negative aspect of, like, you do get the odd trolls and stuff like that, but also just the amount of time you waste on it. Like, I'll go on social media because I want to message someone, and then before I know it, I've wasted 15 minutes just scrolling at stuff. And, like, how do you find your relationship with social media? Is it a positive thing for you, or is it a negative as well?
Nah, it's negative, mate. I just don't like social media, really. I end up aimlessly scrolling for hours and hours on end where my girl, like, what are you doing? And I can't even tell you what I'm doing. I'm just immersed in this bullshit. And it's like, yeah, I'm not a fan of it, but am I addicted to it? Yeah, like the rest of us. So it's like, it's unfortunate that it's a massive part of my job. And I understand how important it is for my job and my brand. So I do it. But if it was up to me, mate, I wouldn't even have it.
Okay. Well, look, we're aware that, you know, you're so close to fight now that, you know, we don't want to take up too much of your time. We've got a few sort of fun questions that we like to ask fighters, unless you've got anything else that you wanted to get in before I get to the sort of lighter questions, Blake.
No, that's brilliant.
No, what?
Anyway.
I want to know, post-fight, what do you eat? What's the go-to pig at?
It's not really. It's more of a drink, mate. It's more the party. Out, mate. I've not been out for months. I get one night off after each fight and I make the most of it.
Is that literally it? Like, well, obviously, I know we spoke about the fact that you fight so regular, like in PFL. So is it like one night and then back to it?
One night and I'm back in the cage again in 6 weeks. So, yeah, I can't afford to be having 2 weeks of partying, mate. It catches up with you, especially at my age.
Fuck me, that must be a big night.
It's never what you think, mate. I try my best, but I'm always knackered from the fight.
Yeah. If you could fight any fighter, past or present, who would it be?
I get asked this all the time, and I don't have an answer for that. I really don't. I'm like, don't really look at it like that, because I have fought so many good names. It's like, I don't really look at that.
When you were sort of, you're saying you got in it with your neighbour who was fighting, who were like the people that you were watching on TV that inspired you?
Aldo's, Anderson Silva's, who else was good back then? Yeah, it was more Aldo. I really liked Aldo. I liked his style, I liked the way he fought, the way he looked at the ground. He was scary. And I was a Jose Aldo fan growing up. He was like my main one.
Yeah. I mean, he's still on a tear right now, isn't he?
Unbelievable. You forget that he's as young as he is. I mean, Aldo's what, like 32, something like that? I don't know. He's super young, Aldo. Brendan, talking about like Aldo, two people that have beaten Aldo and kind of usurped him in terms of like being featherweight greats and featherweight champions, are about to fight again in a few weeks. And that's Alexander Volkanovski and Max Holloway. How do you see that fight going?
Tough, man. Them two are so... You could not get two more evenly matched guys in the world. Like, yeah. It's a coin flip. Whoever shows up better on the night with that one, it really is.
Do you think there's any pathways to victory for either of them that are like kind of obvious or that a lot of people miss or anything like
Absolutely
that?
Absolutely not, mate. Them two are so equally matched. Yeah. They've already spent 50 minutes in the cage with each other. They know each other inside out. It's going to be incredible to watch the third.
Tell us a little bit about the UK scene at the moment. Who's exciting you that's coming through?
Arnold Allen's flying. Mohamed Makaya from Manchester, shout out. Tom Aspinall, Leon Edwards fighting for the belt now. What a great time to be a British mixed martial artist, eh?
Ain't it?
Absolutely. And a great time to be a British MMA fan, because the PFL is coming to the UK. I mean, it's August 13th in Cardiff, August 20th in London, and there'll be, I'm assuming, the playoffs of the PFL. So whoever's the top four in the PFL leagues for each division, they will then go into the playoffs. Obviously, you're very much expecting to be part of that. How excited are you about the thought of bringing the PFL to the UK and fighting on UK soil in the PFL?
Really happy, mate. It's about time they have to get a flight to me. I've been getting flights over here for years now. Buzzing, mate.
Wonderful. Well, look, Brendan, thanks so much for your time, mate. Best of luck at the weekend, man. Can't wait to see you fight. And, yeah, thanks again, brother. It's been a real, real joy.
Yeah, thank you, lads. Much appreciated.
Cheers, mate. Thank you.
Cheers, boys.
There you go, Brendan. What an absolute gent. Best of luck. Obviously, fighting maybe tomorrow, maybe tonight. Depends when this episode comes out. That was a great little chat, wasn't it?
That is a great chat. And he's had such an interesting career. Very up and down. Very, very talented fighter. And it was through, as he pointed out, one of the lowest points of his career, that Dana White Contender Series, that actually ended up being a huge positive for him, I think, because it was from that people knew who he was. Because I remember listening to other MMA podcasts and stuff like that back in 2019 and being like, who's Brendan Loughnane that they're talking about? And it was all talking about the situation on the Contender Series. And from then, that is when I really went, oh, let me really start following this guy's career a bit more. And I think it opened him up to a lot of people because of that. And I think that probably had a huge part to play in the PFL coming in for him. As he said, the PFL give you signing bonuses and stuff like that. And then obviously he'll be on his regular purse for the fights, as well as, if he wins the whole thing, $1 million. One thing we didn't ask him is whether you do show and win money, but I bet you don't in the PFL, but I'm not sure. But it just seems like another financially great place for fighters to be. Obviously, the UFC, we all know, has, you know, all the glitz and glamour, the stardom, and if you make it there, you can, you know, it's what an achievement it can be. And the financial benefits of being a champion in the UFC are huge, but there's a lot of people talking about, if you're a very, very talented fighter but you're not getting the breaks and all that stuff, we've heard Corey Anderson talk about it, Brett Johns talk about it, all these other people that have gone to, for example, Bellator, have spoken about the benefits of that. You look at like Demetrius Johnson going to ONE Championship, earning an absolute fortune over there. There are great financial rewards for fighters in other organisations, and Brendan Loughnane has clearly benefited massively from going to the PFL and was on a vastly bigger contract with the PFL than what he would have been had he got in to the UFC via the Contender Series. So, and it's just great to see fighters earning good money, doing well. They have such a short career, and it's great to see talented fighters like Brendan doing really well, being able to provide for their families, and lovely things like helping buy his mum's house.
Absolutely, and also things like Bellator, and just a general rise in MMA, and you know, it's becoming such a huge sport now. And one of the benefits of that is things like the BBC showing Bellator, and now Channel 4 showing PFL. So you've got no excuses, you know. Go get stuck into the league, go find out all about PFL, and you know, aside from Brendan, you know, you're going to get to see fighters like, who we got over there now? Rory McDonald. We've got
Anthony Pettis is over there now,
and he's Jeremy. About to fight Stevie Ray.
If you don't, you remember Stevie Ray, Scottish lad, he hasn't fought in a while. Was in the UFC for a long time. Stevie Ray's fighting Anthony Pettis on the same card, I believe, as the Brendan Loughnane fight. And also Jeremy Stevens is over there now, and one of the probably the biggest name in the PFL, and one of the most talented women that people think could beat the likes of Nunes, Cyborg, people like that, people clamoring for these fights, is Kayla Harrison. Kayla Harrison is a huge name over in the PFL. She's at lightweight, but I think she has fought at featherweight once before. So people have been clamoring for her to fight the likes of Cyborg, Amanda Nunes before her loss to Juliana Pena. And we will have to see what happens there. But obviously, Kayla Harrison is doing a phenomenal thing for her family and her bank balance by staying in the PFL and smashing her way through to $1 million at the end of every season. So you can't knock that.
I think Clarissa Shields is in PFL as well.
She is. She is, yeah. And she was like a boxing champion that's moved over to MMA.
Legit killer, yeah. So, yeah, and you can watch it all on Channel 4. Also, should say, if you like hearing us speaking to UK mixed martial artists, go get stuck in. I mean, at the end of the episode, obviously, you heard Brendan mention Tom Aspinall, Paddy Pimblett. Who else
Arnold Allen.
Arnold Allen. Arnold's been on a couple of times. Tom's been on. Paddy's been on a couple of times. Molly, a stack of the gang from Next Gen have been on. All of your favourite fighters and some of your ex-fighters like Dan Hardy and refs like Mark Goddard, they've all been on this podcast. Legends like Michael Bisping. You know, we've had international superstars like, as we touched upon as well on the episode, Volkanovski's been on. Great chat with the champ. Any more who have I missed?
Tyron Woodley. I don't know. There's plenty. There's plenty. Yeah. Just go and check them out, guys. Go and flick through the back catalogue and check out who we've had on, because we've had a real who's who of not just UK, but also international MMA as well. And go and check out those episodes.
Absolutely. Don't miss out on anything. The best way you can do that is subscribe to the podcast. Other than that, keep up to speed with us on the socials, because we're on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook. Give us a follow and, yeah, you'll stay up to date on not just the episodes, but we pop up all sorts of bits and pieces about what's going on in the world of MMA. We back next time?
Back next time.
Bye.
Bye.